Now I would like, there was one other person that said they would read for me, and I'd like you to read now too. And it's page 89. Okay.
Hi, I'm Sierra, and I'm a compulsive overeater. It is impossible to begin to learn that which one thinks one already knows. Ooh, I love this one. An OA member gave away a fifth step to her group one day. She told about secretly rejecting the idea that she, a deeply religious person and longtime churchgoer, could learn anything about spirituality in OA. She felt the step said nothing she did not already know about maintaining a relationship with God. After a brief period of abstinence, she began overeating again, blamed the program, and left. She returned almost a year later, feeling utterly defeated, and found her attitude had changed. It was as though she was seeing the first three steps for the first time. When I put aside what I knew, she said, I suddenly saw what I had missed by closing my mind. For today, do I take advantage of opportunities to learn, even though I may know a good deal about a subject?
What's the
date? March 29th, page 89.
And that just goes along with what we read in the spiritual experience, right? And you know, I have to continue to do that. Every once in a while, I'll get really closed-minded again. And one of the things that I loved, doesn't higher power have a great sense of humor? For me, if I can see the humor in it. One day, I was just going on and on about some people that were on television spouting philosophy that was, I had just walked past, and I didn't want to believe that way anymore. It was real rigid. And I was just going on, I was criticizing them for being so judgmental. That's what I did. I was just going, they're so judgmental. And then all of a sudden I stopped and I thought, ooh, you're judging them for being judgmental. I don't know. maybe you want to look at that one. So that takes me, once I've turned my life and my will over, then I need to know a way to live my life. You know, this program is a program for living. And step 11 I just love it, because it really does tell me what I can do on a daily basis. And so I don't know if any of you have your big books, but I'm going to turn to the part in the big book about chapter 11. Maybe I marked it. Oops. It's in the section, yeah, it's on page, I guess it starts on page 85 of the big book. It comes right after, you know, that it comes right after step 3, 4, and 5. No, yeah, it walks through all those action steps, and then it talks about, I love the, after step 10, are the, I call them the step 10 promises, about, let me read a little bit. We ceased fighting anything and everyone, and by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in eating compulsively. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. I love those. And I used to think, if I could ever, because I thought, I don't know if they'll ever come true for me, but I liked reading them. Okay, but then on the bottom of page 85, it says, you're at step 11. It says, step 11 suggests prayer and medication. They're kind of interchangeable, aren't they?
Yes.
Prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than us have been using it constantly. It works for me it works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. And these are so simple, aren't they? First one says, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe anyone an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures we should be taken. And you know, that doesn't have to take long. I always used to think, I really do a lot of my meditation, my prayer, my reading in the morning, because I'm freshest in the morning. But I always felt guilty because I'd hear people talking about, I do a 10-step every night before I go to bed, and I think, I thought of a long 10-step I have to write out, and I've tried all different forms, but by the time I get towards bed, I'm just ready to go to bed and go to sleep. So I can take that, order, and I can go through that in my head. I really can. Other people need to, you know, and I do 10 steps with my sponsor on, I like the AEIOU one, and that's in the slogan back there. It can be a way to do your 10 step. If you want to talk to me about that later, I can talk to you about that. But just looking at the day and seeing, are there things that I would rather have done differently? Is there somebody I need to make amends with? And then I can just let it go and go to sleep. And then I'm rested, and when I get up in the morning, it says, upon awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Now, remember I was trying to get out, what's the difference between selfishness and self-centeredness? Just that's a little bit part of it, that I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I've always been the kind of person that felt sorry for myself, and my mother would say, Karen, you're feeling sorry for yourself. She was a really gentle, loving person, so when she said that, I knew I was feeling sorry for myself. So self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. That's a really big thing to me. Oftentimes when I'm trying to decide what to do or what not to do, if I think, okay, what's my motive? You know, what am I expecting out of this? What are my expectations? I don't know who did this. This is a quote I don't have, but in the B building in the bathroom, I love that you put those little slogans up everywhere. And it talked about, it's a fear, and it said, and I've always heard fear is false evidence appearing real, but in that one it's false expectations appearing real. My expectations, isn't that cool? It's not, people say it's wonderful.
There's a bunch of these mm-hmm.
Right, and I lay them. There are collections of slogans that I've used over. I've collected from other places too. So I printed that off so you could take it with you today. Okay, so that's how we're going to get started. And I like the part that it just can be brief. And for me, I like to do my readings, read on my books, and do some writing and pray before. And I like to be able to do a meditation. But if it's early in the morning and I have to go to work, I can't do my meditation because I might go to sleep. So I have to do that at a different time. But that's my morning thing. But if I can just do that much when I wake up and say, thank you, God, for this day, and just in my head do those simple things, even if I didn't do the rest of it, it helps me get started with my day. And then, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought for a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced, it talked about you might make mistakes sometimes, I'm skipping. We usually conclude the day. But anyway, wait. Do you stop? Where's the part where you stop? I skipped part I shouldn't. I'm going to read it again. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired all the times. So we might pay for this presumption at in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will in time, our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more in the plane of inspiration. We come to rely on it. And we usually conclude the period of meditation, that's about that. But then during the day, I don't want to just spend all my time reading. Okay, here we go, at the bottom of the page. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish action decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. So it tells you what to do before you go to bed at night. It tells you what to do when you wake in the morning. It tells you what to do during the day when you're feeling frustrated and have decisions to make. I've had times at work or at home or other places where I had to just go. And sometimes I'd be in a meeting and I couldn't go anywhere. But I could just, in my head, just get quiet and say, you know, I just have to turn this decision. Teach me what's a good thing. Just get quiet for that little moment instead of let my head get racing ahead. So step 11 to me is just so practical. And I know that in a real difficult time in my life, during my dark valley days, I had a sponsor who asked me to read that every day for a month. And if you start, and she said, there's no magic in a month, but if you skip a day, start over again. Because she really wanted me to make that part of my life. She was great, she was in OA, but she was also in AA, and she had a lot of years of experience. Okay, so if we don't go to meetings, if we don't do these things, then our spiritual life can't really grow and blossom. There's one more thing I need to say. Okay. Okay, so I think I'm pretty much done on what I wanted to say about steps 3 and 11. You could go on and on, but I hope that it's just, we'll kind of finish our thinking for a while. And I want to review one more thing and then close. When I talk about my cycles, sometimes I feel like a whirling dervish. And I don't always know when I'm doing that. I don't always know. One night, my son and I, he and his wife had gone through divorce, and he had 3 little girls, and he was going to have them for a week, and he wanted to have pictures taken for Christmas, and he didn't have pretty dresses for them. And this is a young man in his 30s, and he has 3 little girls, and a great parent, really. And he said, "Mom, could you help me?" So after work, I met him at the mall, which was about a mile from where I worked. And we found, I should have brought the pictures. I have this picture, I love this picture of them, 3 little girls in these beautiful little dresses. And we found the right size. I can't believe they fit the next day when they came. We found, you know, little tights for them. And I didn't get there till 6 o'clock. You know, we had to do this in a hurry. And we did it, and we felt good about it. And we started out, and Chad just grabbed me by the shoulder, and he said, "Mom, are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm a little tired." And he said, "Well, Mom, all night you've been like a woman on a mission." And I love that because that's how I get. I'm so focused on something, and when I do that, then I can see people and not even see them, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what I love about the program is that we just show up. You know, we read these steps, we go to meetings, we use those tools, we let those steps work in our lives, and then our lives change. And so I just want to say what a beautiful weekend this has been for me, and that you have made it that way, all of you. I just have felt so, so comfortable and so welcomed and so at ease after I got started. You know, whenever you come, there's just that nervousness. Stacia says, get out of your ego, Karen. But there's just this part of it that's uneasy, and I didn't know you, and I didn't know what it's going to be like. But you've made me feel so welcome and so at home, and I'm grateful to you. And I think we each, if we signed up, we get the list of names and addresses. So I love to get emails, and my name is on there. My new email address is on there, and I hope that we stay. That if you, it would be nice to hear from you. That's what I want to say. So.